Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. My name is Steve Benson. That's Paul Schultz. And nothing you're about to hear is true.
With any luck.
No one has ever seen you eating tuna fish. There are four stools in every Toyota Prius.
Unless Basil eats one.
Exactly. Hey, so did you have a good weekend? I had a good weekend. Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was pretty chaotic. I had my boys' brother over here, and we were just having fun all weekend. Well, my kids' brother, awesome. I should say. Yeah. Summer's almost over, so.
It's true. Well, for you guys, school probably starts in a week or so, right?
On the 10th, yes.
Our kids start in, like, a couple of weeks. They're up visiting my parents right now. If you wanted to see my kids, they're only, like, half an hour away from you.
I actually considered that, but I'm like, I wonder if out of the context of you being around, if they'd know who I was, or if it would just be
Oh, they ask about you a lot. they ask about you a lot because, they have their best friends or whatever, and then they'll ask me, like, did you and Paul this or that or the other thing or whatever? Since the kids are out of town, we went on a bike ride over the weekend with one of the dads from school who I'm doing that thing, you know, like when you have a male friend and you're thinking, I could really hang with this guy, right? So you look for ways to, it's just weird because we're not kids in junior high.
Yeah.
So it's not just a natural, like, you want to come over and play? So it's like a grown ass man and another grown ass man trying to figure out how to be friends, right?
Yeah. You gotta set up mandates and stuff.
My wife and HJ is his name. I love names that are initials that don't really go together, like HJ.
Yes.
What could be great better than that? It's not JD.
Yeah.
It's not JR.
XQ perhaps.
XQ. XQ might be better than HJ. Anyway, HJ. We're riding along on the Monon Trail here in Indianapolis. And there's this weird thing where it used to be a railroad thing, you know, and then they, of course, at some point in this country's history, we decided we didn't need trains anymore, apparently, and we ripped up all the tracks.
Yeah.
And now everybody's going, we got to put in more trains. God, make up your goddamn mind. Anyway, so we're riding along this, what they call, you know, rail trail or whatever, where they've converted the railroad bed to a bike trail. But it still crosses streets.
Yeah. Right?
So you come to the street, and the bikes are supposed to stop, look for traffic, and go. Right? But when you're riding a bike, stopping and getting going again is a lot of work, and it takes up a lot of time. So what you're trying to do is try to see if anything's coming. Nothing's coming, you go, right? If something is coming, you stop. Well, one of the things here in the Midwest, in central Indiana, that people have started doing over the last, like, 5 years or so in their cars, as they're coming up to these intersections where the bike path meets the road, they're stopping. The car is stopping. The car's not supposed to stop. The car's supposed to go. So if you're on your bike and you see this car, it's kind of close to the intersection, and you go, oh, by the time I get there, it'll be past, right? So I'm just going to slow down a little, time it that the car's passed, and then I can keep going. If that car stops, you're screwed, because you're going, they're slowing down. My timing's off. Are they really going to stop, or are they just slowing down? You end up stopping. They're sitting there. They're waving you on, right? Meanwhile, in the opposite direction, another car's coming that decides to do what it's supposed to do, and it's going to go. It's not going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So you're waiting. This car's waiting for you. You're waiting for it. Another car's coming. You don't know if it's stopping. If you do go and don't see that car, you're going to get hit, right?
Right.
So what the hell is that other car doing? Why is it stopping?
Think of how all this could be solved with self-driving cars.
Oh. Self-driving cars and bicycles with chips in them that communicate with the cars.
Right.
I don't know why you would need that. Anyway. So the question is, what are those people doing that are stopping where they're not supposed to stop? Mm-hmm. And if you ever like talk to them, they'll be like, oh, well, I'm respecting the cyclists. And sometimes I ride my bike. And it's like, dude, if you were a cyclist, you would know what a pain in the ass it is when you stop. In fact, it's downright dangerous. You trying to be polite is killing people. All right? Your politeness is killing people. So my buddy HJ, as we're riding our bikes, he goes, hey, I have an idea for your radio show. I was like, yeah, what's up? He's like, your politeness is killing people. I was like, I think I get what you're saying. And then I start going off. I start ranting about these people.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, are we recording this? Because I've started the show already. I could go on for hours.
You need your little MP3 player, and you're like riding along. And then and you're talking because you're like out of breath. And then you'll send it to me and go, here, do something with this. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's funny. So do they have in Indianapolis, do they have like the rental bikes? Have you seen? Do you have those? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, because I was in South Bend last week, and I'm like thinking, what the hell is that? And my buddy's like, well, you can rent those bikes, and you just ride them from point to point. And I'm like, in South Bend, which is our audience does maybe they don't know this, but it's not exactly the pillar of society. You know, it's not the greatest neighborhood in the world to just have these bikes. You can just rent.
Well, you have to have a credit card.
Oh, well, but still, so a credit card or a crowbar, and you've got a bike. So,
yeah, I hear you. I don't think like that because I'm not a common criminal, but I can see.
You're an uncommon criminal.
Common criminals. I'm an uncommon criminal. Reminds me of that Michael Jackson song.
You've been hit by an uncommon criminal.
Change the channel, Marge.
So I was telling Constance today. Constance is my wife, for those of you that don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling my wife today that I got home from work and I was like, man, I'm like a leadership chameleon. I can, whatever leadership style is needed in that moment, wanted, whatever is called for, I'm snapping my fingers. Unlike a dog. Yeah. Dogs can't snap their fingers.
That's right.
And my point was, usually my default leadership style is make sure people have what they need, make sure I'm giving them the direction that they want, the direction that they need,
mm-hmm.
make sure their goals are aligned with the goals of the project, and let them do their mm-hmm. fucking job. You know,
right. That's my leadership. You and I have, we've discussed this on the show way back in the day. You and I have similar default leadership skills.
Yes. Yes. And I got feedback yesterday because the director of engineering has been coming to my meetings because the current project is highly visible. And it's like, it's the kind of shit you'll see commercials for on TV. And once you do, I'll mm-hmm. tell you, yeah, that's my project. Maybe we'll play the commercial on the show. But it's
awesome.
Like that, yeah, that's like how visible it is. So like everybody's like if my project fails, it'll impact the stock price. That's how, like I can't go buy stock for this company right now because of my knowledge of how well the project's going, right?
Mm.
In fact, the SEC could listen to this show if if I said what the project is and what my client is, and I could get arrested like Martha Stewart, and maybe I'd become friends with Snoop Doggy Dog. That's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll do that. That'd be kind of cool.
I like how he's Snoop Doggy Dog. Like he's like a Muppet with the way you said his name.
It's not his name, Snoop Doggy Dog. I thought Snoop Doggy Dog was his name.
No? But just it's like, you say it like Oggy Doggy. It's cute.
And it's his friend with the green hat.
That's right.
Bishop well, Don really, Magic
Wand. This really sucks because I could have blindly just picked the company that you're working with and, you know, invested in them. But now I can't even do that. Damn it.
Good point. You're screwed now. Maybe you'll be friends with Don Magic Wand, the Reverend Don Magic Wand. our Bishop. Pardon me, Don Magic. Wait, what does he go by? Don Magic?
I'll let you know.
You'll let me know when you meet him. You and Snoop. Hey, Snoop Doggy Dog, would you mind passing that joint? Please do not Bogart that joint, Snoop Doggy Dog.
As he's all splivity divity. I'm like, now I can speak Pootie. I can speak Pootie Tang. I just can't speak Snoop Doggy Dog.
What a tizzle.
What a tizzle. my main dizzle.
So I got the feedback from the director. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. Like, you know, I've been coming to your meetings and, you know, I haven't seen leadership. Like, leadership during the meeting. It seems like the engineers are leading. And what he was seeing is me letting them do their thing, right? And giving them exposure, mm-hmm. letting them show off that they know what's going on. Instead of explaining that to him, I said, okay, thank you for the feedback. Fast forward one day, and I completely switched my leadership style to directorial, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the balance, of course, is I still don't want to leave a trail of bodies mm-hmm. in my wake, so I still want these guys, you know, to do their thing because I don't know their thing. They know their thing. And
right.
Anyway, so, but I got feedback from the director today. He's like, oh, yeah, way much better today. You know, he had his coffee cup, of course.
And the suspenders. Hey,
how's it going? Yeah, exactly. And so anyway, during the meeting, I gave this guy some instructions on when something needed to be done. And I could tell from the look on his face and his body language, he didn't feel real comfortable that it was going to be done by then. And I explained to him like exactly why it was so important mm-hmm. that it get done by that time. And he seemed really bummed, right? So inside of me, like I figured something out today. And it was one of the, you know, and I'm not new agey, like, you know, chakras and all that stuff. But I realized when I'm around other people and they have certain emotions and feelings and things
mm-hmm.
and certain energies, I kind of take those on myself.
Yeah.
And I felt myself doing that. I was like, oh, I just want, I get this from my mom, obviously not my dad. That's the last week's show. You should know that. But I get this, like, if I could take it, they won't have mm-hmm. it, right? So if I could take his pain onto myself, then he won't have it. I'm sure there's a superhero that does that.
There is.
But
it's part of the whole empathy and, thing.
Yeah, yep. Empathy, yep. Exactly. And I caught myself, and I was like, you know what? That's not always appropriate for me to do that. And so I was thinking, am I like too empathetic or am I just pathetic? Like if you're not too empathetic, maybe you're just pathetic, you know? Because the opposite of empathetic is empathetic? Yeah. I don't know.
Unpathetic. Wait.
Inflammable?
Yeah, because unpathetic would mean you're awesome. So that's not that. Well, no, I think it plays to your strength, though. I think that you still get the shit done, so you're not. There's nothing wrong with how you do it. If the product is done, if the project is done, and you, regardless of which leadership method you use, you know, like you said, you're a leadership chameleon. If it works, don't beat yourself up over it. It fucking works.
Well, it's like I heard on a podcast about this book called No More Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah.
And the interview, he was interviewing the author, and mm-hmm. he was talking about, I'm a recovering nice guy. And he was focusing a lot on chicks, like getting chicks.
Mm-hmm.
But they were trying to apply it to entrepreneurialism and stuff, too. They're like, you know, we were taught as, you know, this is a generation basically raised by women.
Yes.
And there's a lot of feminine energy going on.
Yeah.
And we all think that if I'm nice and I'm the good guy and people like me, they'll do what I want them to do, or I'll get what I want to get.
Uh-huh.
Right. So the way that I thought I was supposed to act in order to get chicks was to be nice. And if I'm nice to them, they'll like me.
See?
And they'll want to.
See, here's the
sleep with me.
Here's the flaw with that, though. You know, your dad's an ass. My dad's an ass, and somehow they managed to get laid. So,
at least twice.
Well, and your
my dad
twice.
Four times.
Yeah, four times.
Your dad's like 18 times.
So yeah, it doesn't work. The Mr. Nice Guy thing doesn't work. To get laid, nor does it probably work in the business industry.
Hang on.
Uh-oh.
I think that's... Hang on, let me get this.
All right.
I think I know who this is. Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, hey, it's 130KYOM.
130KYOM, what? What's the KO what?
That's your rap name.
Nerd speak for 130,000. K means 1,000-year-old mastodon.
Oh, shut up, you nerd talk.
No. It's your rap name.
Rap name? What?
When you're hanging out with Snoop Doggy Dog.
Rap name? Snoop Doggy Dog? What's wrong with you, man? Y'all must be crazy. Y'all crazy.
If you'd like me to call you 130,000-year-old mastodon,
that's what I am, ain't it? You never call me by my real name.
I don't know your real name.
Well, you ain't going to find out neither. You keep calling me K-Yam or K-Yam or whatever, K-K-K, whatever you call me. Anyway, I was listening. I heard y'all talking about being a nice guy.
Yeah, well, you know, I figure that if you would like... for people to do things that you would like for them to do, being nice is, you know, you catch more, I'm just saying, you catch more flies with honey than with elephant shit.
Oh, now there you go. It's always got to be about elephant dung, don't it? Always about the pachyderms and the furry mammoths and whatever the hell y'all always talking about. Look, here's what I got to say. You want shit. That's the problem. Like, you're always thinking about what you want. You ever think about what somebody else want? Instead of just like, oh, you just gonna be nice to me so I do what you want. Is that it? That ain't nice. That's being an asshole. That's what we call it back in the day. And so you go out there and you think, oh, I'll be nice and that'll get people to do. That's being manipulative.
It's being what?
Manipulative.
Are you trying to say... What are you trying to say?
I'm trying to say manipulative. Asshole. That's what you being, man. You out there, you being nice to people just so you see what you can get. You go out, you want to get laid. So you're going to be nice to the girl. And you try to make her think you don't want to get laid so that you can get laid. What kind of shit is that? That's bullshit. Man, I take care. Look. I take care of my business, right? You take care of your business. I take care of my business. And all our business get taken care of, right?
Well, yeah, I don't see what that has to do with.
What? Look, you talk about them cars driving up to them intersections, right? They got someplace to be. You got someplace to be. They mind their own damn business. They don't be stopping at that intersection. You don't be getting hit by that other car.
How do you know so much about cars?
Don't worry about how I know. I know enough about a lot of things. I'm 130,000 goddamn years old. I know a lot of shit.
Well, it sounds like you know a lot about women, too.
Well, you know what? I want to thank y'all for introducing me to that diplomatic panda.
Oh. So you guys got together?
Yeah, we got together. Oh, yeah. You think I was nice to her? I was not nice to her. She liked it, too. She's like, don't be nice to me. Don't be nice to me. She got that high voice, you know.
I know. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, man. I mean, y'all was all taught the wrong way. Like that song, like, where all the cowboys at or whatever. I tell you where all the cowboys at. Y'all killed them. That's where all the cowboys are at.
You mean where have all the cowboys gone?
Whatever. Man, I don't give a shit. Them cowboys, the real cowboys, never went anywhere. The bitches done killed all the cowboys. That's where they at. It's like where all the cowboys at.
I kind of like, wow, force of nature came in. Yeah, damn right. You got me mad. Y'all got me mad talking about that. Being nice.
What are you doing, Paul, sitting there with that grin on your face?
I can't help it.
I know. Look, Paul, I know you ain't.
Because you're dropping knowledge, that's why. You're dropping knowledge. I'm picking it up.
I know I'm dropping knowledge. That ain't all I'm dropping. Hang on.
I just dropped a load right there. Look, that diplomatic panda is into that shit. I ain't going to get into that right now because this is a family show. But anyway, Paul, I know you ain't nice.
How come you ain't taught? I'm the farthest thing.
How come you ain't taught your buddy Steve how to be not nice?
I'm working on it.
I'm waiting. You're working on it. How long you known him? 48 goddamn years? I know that ain't long compared to 130,000 years, but still.
He's picking it up. He's picking it up. I'm putting it down, so.
Who picking it up? It's kind of too late. You expect him not to be nice to his wife? Actually,
I'm still here.
Maybe you ought to try not being nice to your wife for a minute. See what happened.
Have you met my wife?
No, I ain't met your wife. She like that panda?
But she's a damn far sight from that panda.
Yeah.
She's pretty fucking far from that panda.
As Steve suddenly turns into Ving Rhames.
Ving Rhames. I know Ving Rhames. He's a good guy. He ain't no elephant, though. He ain't no pachyderm. He ain't no mastodon.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, 130,000
K-Yam. We got to get going. That's his new name now. His new name is K-Yam.
K-Yam. K-Yam. K-Yam. Kaye. Kaye Irving. Whatever.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling in. You're welcome.
You're welcome. I call in, drop knowledge anytime y'all need me. Be dropping some knowledge.
Okay. Well, you have a good night.
Thank you. I'll keep listening.
Hey, why don't we have dial tones anymore?
You are going to make a career for a psychiatrist one day. When you go into the... Am I talking to the 130,000-year-old mastodon? The diplomatic panda? the expandable mermaid? Or Steve? Which one am I talking to today?
That's a good point. He did raise a few good points. And I'll tell you, you know, the thing that this guy was talking about in that interview, which I think the 130K Yam was trying to point out. First of all, this guy's like, do you think a woman who you've asked out on a date does not know, like, your ultimate, like, desire, what you would like to have happen,
right,
as a result of this dating relationship?
Right.
Do you think that she doesn't know that?
Right.
Right. And so you're going to go into it, like, hiding that fact?
Mm.
Well, she's just going to be like, well, this guy's a liar.
Yeah.
Because, and so I don't, yeah, I'm not going to do anything with this lying sack shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
No, you're absolutely right.
I don't know
right.
what you're supposed to do, though.
It's become my experience that, yeah, the more direct approach, not so much with the, because, yeah, they do know. I've had actual conversations with women. I've had actual conversations with women that have said exactly that. They know what the end game is. So you're trying to basically pull the wool over their eyes, and it's insulting to them. So, you know, just be honest, man. Be honest. And be yourself, but be the coolest version of yourself that you can possibly muster.
Maybe the Facebook question of the day ought to be, where did you go on your first date? What do you think?
That works. I forgot we did those.
Where did you go on your first date? Ever. You got to put
right,
ever
right
in there. Go. Because it's not enough just to say first date. You got to say first date ever. Because people will be like, first date ever? Or first date some other thing other than ever?
Because what you'll end up is you'll end up getting like, well, I took my wife to be to such and such. No, that isn't what we asked. We wanted to know where your first date ever was.
Yeah, ever.
I remember when I was a little girl, our house caught on fire. I'll never forget the look on my father's face as he gathered me up in his arms and raced to the burning building out of the pavement. And I stood there, shivering in my pajamas, and watched the whole world go up in flames. And when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to a fire? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is. And when I was 12 years old, my daddy took me to the circus, the greatest show on earth. There were clowns and elephants and dancing bears, and a beautiful lady in pink tights flew high above our heads. And as I sat there watching, I had the feeling that something was missing. I don't know what, but when it was all over, I said to myself, is that all there is to the circus? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. That's all there is. And then I fell in love with the most wonderful boy in the world. We'd take long walks down by the river, or just sit for hours gazing into each other's eyes. We were so very much in love. And then one day, he went away, and I thought I'd die, but I didn't. And when I didn't, I said to myself, is that all there is to love? Is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep. I know what you must be saying to yourselves. If that's the way she feels about it, why doesn't she just end it all? Oh no, not me. I'm not ready for that final disappointment. 'Cause I know, just as well as I'm standing here talking to you, that when that final moment comes and I'm breathing my last breath, I'll be saying to myself, is that all there is? Is that all there is? If that's all there is, my friends, then let's keep dancing. Let's break out the booze and have a ball. If that's all there is.
Dude, I remember like 20 fucking years ago, dude, when you and me and the gang were sitting in Holly's and you went the fuck off on that Where Have All the Cowboys Gone song. I was actually thinking about it the other day because it came across on some, it was a commercial or something, and I'm like, man, I remember that. Those were good times.
I was pissed.
Yeah, you were.
So last week when you had the suggestion of like, I could just go off on a rant, you know, or 130K could go off on a rant about something. I was like, this is the perfect.
I mean, I'm watching rant. You. I'm watching you be KM and I'm like, wow.
Where all the Cowboys at? Y'all killed them. That's where they at.
That's right.
I just remember you saying, where have all the Cowboys gone? Who fucking killed them?
Yeah, those were good times.
Yes. That was when, it was at Holly's when we saw Kenny Hurt. I remember where I was sitting. Are you kidding me? I remember where he was sitting. No wonder they call him Kenny Hurt. Welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. Thank you for being patient with us as we go through our thoughts and prayers for the world we live in. Hey, tell you what. Do you have any more thoughts first before we move on to headlines?
No, I think we got it.
All right. Headlines. First two are from Cal Gibb, and the third one is from some random place, probably Google News or something.
You totally need to make a website called Cal Gibb.
And it would be like the BBC, only it would be spelled CC.
Yeah, you just repost all the BBC, you know, or rewrite it, you know, all the BBC news.
It'd be like the whitehouse.net site. I wonder if that's still going. Anyway, this first one. Woman slapped police car before death.
She wasn't having it, huh?
Don't know why that's so funny. But I have no idea what that's supposed to mean. But you slap a police car? I mean, doesn't that... Did that bring a little retribution?
I just hope I have a little bit of wherewithal before I die to slap something before. It'll never be as epic as a police car.
How awesome would it be, though? Or it could be like a parking meter.
Slap or, a parking meter.
It could be Rihanna. I wonder if her whole life she was like, before I die, I'm going to slap a police car. And she was dying of breast cancer or something like that. What? She's like, what, police car? They don't slap police cars in Detroit.
This is how we do
it. Sure the, yeah, I'm sure the police car had it coming. And I don't know what she died of, but I'm sure she died happy having achieved her goal.
I really need to rethink my goals.
Good thing it wasn't like RoboCop. You have slapped me.
Come quietly or there will be trouble.
Next one, I don't even know what to say about this one. I'm hoping you have something to say because I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. One-armed clown with machete arrested.
For... One-armed clown with a machete.
Is it illegal for a clown to have a machete? Is it illegal for a one-armed person to have a machete? Is it the machete that got him arrested? Or the being a one-armed clown? If you're, let's say you only got one arm, and I don't know if this, if he had his arm like severed in a freak clown accident.
Freak clown. Isn't that the same thing, a freak and a clown?
Any accident while dressed like a clown is by definition a freak accident. I don't know if he was born with one arm.
If I was a one-arm clown, I'd have one of them like spring-loaded boxing glove arms for this boom. It's like,
for the other arm.
Yeah, I know. They're trying to take away my machete, and I'm like, boom. And
I think if I only had one arm, I would be a paper hanger.
You'd be the one.
I'd be super busy, and every time somebody said busier than a one-armed paper hanger, I'd say, come on, man. Come on. They'd look over at me. I'd have glue on my shirt. Like I'd have that, like I have a piece of wallpaper hanging on my shoulder that didn't have the arm. Like, I can't even get this off. I can't reach it. Well, one-armed clown, super scary. Well, first of all, clown, super scary. One-armed clown, extra scary. One-armed clown with machete.
That's right.
Not scary, more funny, I think.
Especially if it's like one of those rubber machetes that they hit you with, you know.
Like a plastic machete.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking it's kind of like, hey, kids, I've got this machete. It's like Danny Trejo going like with a clown nose. He's like, hey, it's Red Nose Day. You should get your red nose at Walgreens. For some damn reason, I don't know. It's like every goddamn thing day. But I got this machete. And I'm going to act poorly, but you're still going to like my movie because I'm Danny Trejo.
It's so true. Knows. We do. He is not a good actor, but...
He's my favorite horrible actor.
Yeah, he really... I would never... You know, but you know what? If he listens to this show, he's wonderful because I don't want Danny Trejo mad at me. But
I'm a one-armed clown with a machete. I'm not Danny Trejo. I'm Danny Trejo. And I'm a clown. You call me Trejo the Clown. I got one arm and a machete.
He's Trejo the Clown.
Danny. Danny, can I call you Danny?
No, you can't call me Danny. You call me Machete.
Okay.
Or Superman. Super badass. You can call me super badass.
Super. Okay, Mr. Super Badass. I can see your arm. You're just holding it behind your back.
Why don't you shut up? Fry, hit you with this machete. You can shut up. I'll chop you up with a machete.
Wait, it'd be like,
I'll chop you up with this machete.
Wait, so you could say the SH sound, but you choose not to. Why don't you shut up before I
shut up.
Chop you up with this machete?
It's like, and then I would reach out like in, like at the end of Karate Kid when, Karate Kid 2. No, it was at the beginning of Karate Kid 2 where Mr. Miyagi reaches out to the dude and he's like, grabs his nose. He's like, honk. That's what I'd do with Danny Trejo if he was dressed up like a clown and only had one arm. Even if he had a machete, I'd be like, honk, on his nose.
You big man behind your podcasting microphone.
Suddenly, I've invented another character called Danny Trejo dressed as a clown with one arm and a machete.
There's a documentary on Hulu about Danny Trejo, and he I would. He's like 70 goddamn years old. I still wouldn't mess with him. I'm just throwing that out.
How you think I got all these scars on my face, S.A.?
I assumed acne.
Shut up, man. I mean, shut up, man. I chop you up with my machete.
Is he even Mexican?
Oh, yeah. He's as Mexican as you're going to get.
You're damn right I'm Mexican. I'm 110% Mexican.
All right. So Danny Trejo dressed as a clown with one arm and a machete. This next one comes to us from some random site. I found it on Google News. Ohio executes Ronald Phillips, resuming lethal injections after 3-year break. I'm Chesterfield Station. I'm joined by Alistair Powers. Hello, Alistair.
Salutations.
Ronald Phillips, who was on death row because he broke into a random house in a quiet subdivision near Akron, Ohio. He tied up all the women in the house and made them watch while he raped the dad. And then when he was finished raping the dad, he tied the dad up and made the dad watch him rape the pet. When asked why he never raped the women, he said, I don't like raping women. And then when asked why he didn't just leave them alone instead of killing them and then burning them alive, he said, I like burning people alive. And then he stole nothing from the house. When asked why he stole nothing, he said, I don't like stealing. I just like killing. So now, Ohio has brought back the lethal injection after a 3-year break, and they have inflicted this cruel punishment on Mr. Ronald Phillips, despite the protests of the people outside who had compassion for their fellow human being. How do you feel about this, Alistair?
I'm aghast. I'm aghast that they would reinstate such a cruel thing on someone who clearly is a victim of the times and misunderstood.
He was emotionally abused by his father, and his mother was a common prostitute on the streets of Cleveland.
Wait, are we talking about this guy or Rorschach?
Yeah, right. Okay, honestly, from that portrayal of Chesterfield Station, listeners may detect sarcasm, and they may detect that sarcasm thinking I'm in favor of the death penalty. The issue is, and this is the reverse sarcasm, I'm not in favor of the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But the common argument that people have for the death penalty is they go, Oh, well, you know, he you know, broke into somebody's house and he, you know, raped and killed and burned and whatever. And it's like, and now you want to, is this the guy you're going to go to bat for? I'm like, no. Like,
yeah.
If a safe or a piano from a cartoon fell on his head and it hurt a lot for 36 hours and then he died, I'd probably go, yeah, it seems about right. He deserved that. So I don't give a shit about Ronald Phillips. You know?
Right.
What I give a shit about is what that says about our society and us as human beings. So yeah, I don't care. If somebody ran him over with a bulldozer, you know, that was on fire.
At 3 miles an hour, just slowly
3 miles an hour,
squeezed
covered
him.
In, you know, covered in salt. So just the salt that he was dying, you know.
I'm like you. I'm completely against the death penalty. I really am. I think that the things that I've experienced in my life, I've learned that life is fleeting, life is sacred, all of it is. I would not wish the death penalty on, like, Hitler, Mussolini, any of the famous, you know, Jeffrey Dahmer, any of the serial killers. I just would not do that. But the idea that people would get bent out of shape about putting someone to death, like, okay, here's the guy. He goes into a house. He does all these. He ends these people's life in pure terror, the kind of terror that is not supposed to exist in the world. It should not exist in the world. He ends their life this way. Okay? To be put to death by, well, here's an injection, now you're going to take a nap and you're never going to wake up.
Mm.
Which is worse?
Yeah.
I mean, that's too humane. I'm like you. Run him over with a bulldozer at 3 miles an hour.
And like, make sure it's a family member.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. I don't understand. It's like, I think if the people that are getting upset about this, and here's what they'll do, as we're no longer irresponsibly interpreting this headline. Here's what they'll do. If you showed, say for whatever reason they had the whole event on video, all right, and they showed it to a panel of people who are against the death penalty, all right?
Yeah.
What they would do, what these people who are against you and I and people that are upset about it, what they would do is they would go, well, it's the father's fault.
Right.
Now, okay, he might have been the one, and I've learned this from personal experience and dealing with people. He might have, sure, he was the one that started it, but the thing I've learned in life and learned from people who have overcome absolutely horrible upbringings, you don't have to carry that with you. You make a choice at some point in your life to go, well, my dad abused me, so I'm going to torture animals, and then from the animals I'm going to pull in cold blood and break into a house and torture these people. You make a choice in your life when you can go, no, this is not what I want.
Yeah, and if you, and for me, I completely agree with you. And I also can see how somebody who's abused and whose father is, you know, piece of shit, and abuses dogs and cats and whatever, mm-hmm. I can also see how that person is way more likely to end up, you know, pulling a helter skelter than little Lord Fauntleroy, you know, and, you know, his parents were, you know, missionaries and saved baby seals and whatever. Right. I could totally see, or our kids.
Yes, or our kids.
I could totally see how sometimes the deck is stacked against you, right? And the circumstances that you were born into made it really a lot more likely that you would be lead a life of crime than somebody who led a different life, right? And I would also, so to that person, I would go, no, I get it. I get it. And that sucks, right? But you did the crime, and I don't want you out there to potentially commit the same crime, because those people didn't have it coming, right? So society and we need to be protected from you.
Right.
And so you're going to be here for a while until such time as we determine you're no longer a threat.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And if some people feel like he needs to be killed, I'm going to go, well, you people are wrong. I disagree with you. We have the technology. You know, we have the technology to keep this person away from society.
Yes.
Forever.
A technology that has literally not evolved in 500 years.
Yeah.
The locks just got better.
Like killing them is... If the goal is to keep them from doing this again, killing them is not necessary.
Right.
The only possible reason you could have for killing them is just for your own satisfaction.
And I always figured keeping a serial killer alive as opposed, or just a murderer or whatever, keeping them alive and studying them in the name of science.
Oh yeah.
Is a much better
science
end. As opposed to just killing them and removing them from society and the world entirely.
Agreed. Well, he'll be missed. all right, completely different topic.
Shit. Sorry.
totally different topic. My brother-in-law just got back from Switzerland.
Oh, yeah?
Which is that country... Like, all I ever knew about Switzerland when I was a kid was they weren't in any of the wars. And whenever I asked, like, how did they manage to stay out of the wars, everybody was like, giant mountains. It was like...
And, yes. And they make a great pocket knife.
And they make a great pocket knife and good watches.
That's right.
It's like, well, why didn't that work for Mordor? Why didn't they stay out of... Because they had some giant mountains.
But Mordor didn't have cheese.
True.
Switzerland had
Mordor. Let this be a lesson. If Mordor had had cheese, none of this ever would have happened. And no one would. Anyway, so he got back from Switzerland and he posted on the social media that all of us old people are on called Facebook. He posted what a culture shock it was when he got off the plane and like started integrating back into American society. He's like, I was just shocked at the obesity epidemic in this country. And I could relate. And the reason I could relate is when I moved from Chicago to Indianapolis, When I was at work in Chicago, there were overweight people. I was one of them, probably. But there were overweight people. Okay. And then when I moved to Indianapolis, I was like, ugh. And I think I've told you about this. We may even have talked about it on the show. I'm not talking about you could lose a few pounds. I'm talking about you could lose a few people.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
You could lose the equivalent of two people and still be a little bit overweight, right? Like super, super gigantic, like, oh my God, fat, right?
Yeah.
And those people didn't exist when we were kids. I look back on Uncle Carl, who we love, and back in the day, we thought Uncle Carl was that. We were like, oh my God, oh dude. But he wasn't that back in the day. He's not now, obviously. He's on the mend, but...
Yeah.
Nowadays? Holy shit. And then, so my brother-in-law coming back to Chicago, had this culture shock. There's something wrong, you know, in this country. And I know...
If I was going to simplify it down, if I was going to break it down and make it real simple, which, you know, our last conversation about the death penalty just proves nothing is simple. But if I was going to simplify it, I'm going to simplify it down to high fructose corn syrup.
Hang on.
That's not even funny.
Hold on, that's my phone. Hang on. Damn, hang on. Let me get this. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, who is this?
This is Explaining Mermaid.
Oh, wow. You're Explaining Mermaid. Well, hey, how are you?
Well, not very good right now.
What's wrong?
Well, first of all, you're talking about fat people, and I think that body image is a big issue in this country, and you should not make fun of fat people.
Well, we weren't making fun of fat people. We were just talking about how dangerous it is to your health.
God, what about smoking? Smoking's bad, too.
Well, I know smoking's bad, but I mean...
We've covered smoking on the show.
I've covered smoking. Why do you think... I'm Expanding Mermaid. Just expand like a big expanding mermaid. Are you saying my health's in trouble?
Well, if you weren't an expanding mermaid, I think that Basil probably would have pooped you out and you would not have been extracted from...
Well, I'm okay now, though, right? I mean,
but you almost killed a person because of your obesity.
It's not my fault he ate me.
Ooh, she does have a good point there. She does have a good...
Man.
Right, I have a good point. I mean,
she just landed on a whole new level.
Hang on a second. What? I gotta get this. Okay, I'm back.
Who was that, Expanding Mermaid?
That was somebody named K-Yam or 130 K-Yam. He said he likes big butts, and I got one, so
I'm hanging up on this bitch.
Change the channel, Marge.
Alright, well, let's get back to our Facebook question of the day.
Alright.
As a reminder, it was, where did you go on your first date ever? Go. Nan Miller says, we went shopping for supplies for my husband to go to college. We started dating right after he graduated high school.
I'm going to call shenanigans. There's no possible way that was her first date ever.
All right. Let me respond.
Paul E. Schultz calls shenanigans.
Date ever? Amy Jones Amy Jones says, the local 4-H fair. Okay, that's okay.
That's
Dougie
a little
Livingston
more.
Says Abe's Pizza. Duh. Whenever anybody says duh about something really obscure, I just want to slap them in their police car. Kim Hoover Wise says Brookfield Zoo. I can believe that. Although, mm-hmm. I would have expected somewhere in Michigan City. I should put that. I can believe that. Though, I would have expected somewhere. Maybe I shouldn't put this. You know what? I'm not going to put this. Because the more I think about it, the more I think she's one of my ex-girlfriends. She may be talking about our first date. I don't want to get into it. All right. Heather Dismore says, movies, Nightmare on Elm Street, the original.
Oh, yeah.
I am old.
Oh, yeah.
Cheryl Eisner, my kid's music teacher, says bowling. Kelly East says, high school football jamboree bonfire. Very specific.
Also Beck lyrics.
Yeah. High school jamboree. Wait. High school football jamboree bonfire.
Getting crazy with the cheese whiz.
Constance Wilhair Vincent says, a movie. Can't remember what movie, though. That's too bad. That'd be really interesting to know. It was just some movie. It was just a movie. Whatever. Who cares what it was?
Wait. Or she doesn't remember the movie because they were too busy making out during the movie.
Thank you for pointing that out.
Sorry.
I suppose I deserved that on some level after having brought up my ex-girlfriend.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to...
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for trying.
this is the last episode of the Don't Panic Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for listening. We failed 29 episodes before overtaking Do It Indie Radio Hour.
That's right.
Speaking of which, MP and I had a few words today.
Oh, yeah?
About improv. Yeah. There's an Indianapolis troupe called Indieprov is having open auditions.
Mm-hmm.
I suggested to him that he go try out for some improv.
Only if you go along with him and record it.
Yes. That would be... Ooh! MP, if you're listening, we got to do that.
That would be awesome.
That having been said, this has been the Don't Panic Radio Show. Go over to don'tpanicradioshow.com and check out the archives. Check out the latest shows. Go ahead and share that link with your friends so they can partake in the hilarity. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Benson. Don't you forget, nothing you just heard was true.
Shit.